Friends, let's join in prayer. Lord God, as we gather today, we pray for hearts that listen. We are people that are always in need. Let our need today be expressed as a need for you, a hunger for you. Lord God, open our minds and our hearts in fresh new ways to the gift of your word for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, I can hardly believe it. It's already the beginning of another month, and time just seems to be racing by already as we enter into this summer-like season. I feel like I'm meeting myself going and coming. What about you? Truth be told, for many of us, it seems like we're always in this fevered pitch of frenzy to get stuff done, to accomplish things. It seems from an earlier and earlier age, we're being programmed to squeeze the most we can get out of each and every day. The idea of whiling away an afternoon doing absolutely nothing is almost a total mystery for most of us. Even vacations, for some, have become such whirlwind events crammed with hundreds of miles of travel and countless activities that we're often left feeling more exhausted after our vacation than we were before our so-called break. This fast, frenzied pace at which we live our lives, though, reminds me in many ways of a lesson that could be learned from history. I'll never forget stumbling across an illustration about World War I fighting pilots. You probably recognize some of these names. Baron von Richthofen, Red Baron, or Eddie Rickenbacker. It seems that when these two famed pilots were battling it out over the skies of France back in the World War I days, their aircraft engines only had two power settings, full on or off. Early rotary engines of that day weren't equipped with adjustable throttles yet. So when the engines were hand-propped into startup, they roared into life and they stayed that way until they were shut down. Now, any good pilot can tell you that running an engine at full throttle continuously will quickly burn it out. And I dare say that it's no different with our lives. You and I, friends, were never intended to operate at full throttle all the time. Our God never meant for any of us to be so frantic in the pace of our living that we were on the go every minute of every day. Believe it or not, even our Lord Jesus wasn't on the go all the time. Frequently, you can see examples in the scriptures of Jesus withdrawing for a time from the crowds, from the day-to-day demands upon him. We can read in the Gospels of how Jesus intentionally took time away to enjoy the beauty of nature, to enjoy the laughter of children, to gather for relaxed moments with friends. Perhaps this is why when I read today's topic about observing the Sabbath, I thought that's made to order for me. And not so much because Joanne and I are heading out on vacation, but it's meant for me every day in which I live. And I hope you'll take the lesson to heart as well. Let me say a bit more. I don't know how you feel about this, but as I evaluate our society, it seems that we are identified often as being very, very work-oriented all the time. It seems we've forgotten what it is to give ourselves permission to just enjoy some unstructured time, to become quiet, to pause. And it seems most difficult when we've practiced being frantic so long for us to remain and grow quiet in a time of worship with our God. I suspect that we're so convinced about the importance of a strong work ethic that it becomes our very identity far too often. Let me invite you into a bit of an experiment. You don't have to show your hands, but I'm just curious if you can evaluate yourself honestly today and think of a time when someone asked you to introduce yourself to them. And probably your first go-to was to start telling them what you do. You know, as I have struggled with that throughout my life, and as I meet a lot of different people, I've made a point in my own mind that when I'm meeting someone for the first time, I'm going to give them permission to do something than just introduce themselves to me by what they do. And so I'll often ask a new person, a new face to me, to respond to this question: tell me about yourself. And allow them to share whatever it is that comes to mind. But you know, 9 times out of 10, I fall into this trap, and I dare say you do as well. We define ourselves by what it is we do, what keeps us busy, as opposed to just being God's children. Being. I'm a human being, alive, well, healthy, happy. Friends, if we struggle with these kinds of things in and of ourselves, maybe it's time to learn a lesson or two from those ancient commandments that go back to the very beginning of God's people. And we are introduced to it once again today. If you were reading along with our scripture reader, Mary Jo, you heard that ancient commandment spoken again. In Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you." And then the passage goes on to begin describing or outlining what such a Sabbath would look like, giving a laundry list of how people were to let go of everything that they do that is labor-oriented and to find rest. In fact, I had to look carefully, but buried deep within that text from Deuteronomy is that word. Rest. To cease all labor, the scriptures say, so that all may rest. Read it for yourselves. Now, I won't go into a lot of detail about how the Sabbath observance originated or even as it evolved over time among God's people, but I do think it's important to get back to the basics, the original intent of the Sabbath. From its very beginning, the Sabbath was to be the closing day of a 7-day week. It was observed as that day in which all labor ceased so that all could worship God. In obedience to God's command and those that took it seriously, the Hebrew people found that a regular observance of the Sabbath refreshed them. It allowed them to remember again, in a very intentional way, the goodness and provision of God in their lives because of the pause. As a result, I believe the original Sabbath observance can teach us a couple of lessons today. Number one is that the Sabbath was always intended to be recreational. Not recreational, but recreational. To renew us, to refresh us, to allow us to be recreated, if you will, in a spiritual sense. The second lesson, the Sabbath was also, as I said a few minutes ago, meant to be a time to pause and remember. Kind of a reset, if you will, to take time intentionally in the midst of your workaday week and acknowledge the one who is the giver of all good gifts, the one who provides us with the energy, the health, the ability to do this work that we cling to so much. By characterizing the Sabbath in this way, as recreational on the one hand and remembering on the other, I think it helps us to identify who and what we truly are, and most especially who or what it is that we worship. And I want you to hear that. Do we worship our work? Or do we worship the one who has blessed us with gifts abundant, with the gift of life itself? Remember the Sabbath. You know, in many ways, I think that it has always been intended for our well-being. Sabbath. It's meant to be enjoyed, not endured. That's why Jesus said in his own words in our gospel lesson today, the Sabbath was made for humankind. That is, for you and me. And it's not the other way around. We're not meant to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift to us. That's why attitude is everything when it comes to the Sabbath. How we observe it, how we experience it. So I want you to think honestly in your minds again how it is that you approach the Sabbath from week to week. If our observance, friends, of the Sabbath means coming to church with a sense of duty, because we should do it, it's a good thing, we're told that we should do it, and we kind of go through the motions, then I dare say our Sabbath experience will probably wind up being rather dull and lifeless. What time is it? How long is Pastor Dave going to continue yammering on? Oh, you mean we've got communion too? However, if observing the Sabbath is seen as your opportunity to disconnect for a time, to unplug, if you will, from the demands of life, give yourself the gift of just resting in the presence of God, finding spiritual refreshment, then I dare say the Sabbath takes on a whole different tone. It can be infusing, reigniting. It can truly become joyous. So how do we get some of that genuine Sabbath experience that God has always desired for us? Well, believe it or not, I think that it invites us to think in terms of being a child again. A child who knows how to play and knows how to enter into the fullness of those moments of life that are all so precious for us. To make the experience count for something rather than just counting off tasks until we can get a break. To learn how to be childlike as we immerse ourselves in the fullness of the present moment. And those of you that have children or have grandchildren or certainly have experienced life with a child, you know how different it can be for a young person as opposed to we oldsters who are always looking over our shoulder and thinking what we didn't get done last week and what we still got to do today and all the things that we've got to accomplish and worry and frustrate and just constantly busy of mind rather than being in the moment. It reminds me a lot of my experience as a young dad. Our firstborn daughter, who we're going to see in a couple of days here, 26 years old, when she was just a toddler, I'll never forget one of the first experiences I had taking her on a walk around my favorite nature site. It was called McDowell Dam. It's about a mile and a half from our home, and I frequently would go there to not only immerse myself in the great outdoors, but usually my objective was to get some good exercise. Again, work-oriented. March around a trail. It was about a 2.5-mile trail, and I got to keep myself fit and vigorous. Rarely really appreciating just the moment. But then my daughter opened my eyes in her enthusiasm for being immersed in this totally new place. I began seeing my world through her eyes. As she walked down that well-worn path that I had walked around many times, she was taken in by everything that she saw. And maybe you've had the joy of experiencing this as well. She would see a tiny little flower and go over to it and maybe pluck it up. Maybe it was even something like one of those dreaded dandelions that had gone to seed, but she took the fun of plucking it up and blowing it and watching the seedlings float on the air. Perhaps it was a grasshopper that was leaping from place to place, or maybe even a frog that was near the waterline, or the sparkle of the sun on the lake itself. Everything was a magical moment, and she was drawn to it with riveting attention, and it brought my attention to it as well. And I thought, what a powerful message to be fully present in the moment, not worried about anything, but experiencing the gift of life, the joys of God's creativity. Friends, if you take nothing else away from this Sabbath than this, I hope you will remember how wonderful it is for us to have the opportunity to gather in fellowship with one another and simply to pause in the midst of our busy workaday lives and to listen, as our call to worship invited us to do, to listen to the voice of God again, to pay attention to some of its messaging for our hearts and how it can reshape our thinking and our behavior, to experience again, friends, in the moment, what it's going to be like to come to this altar table. As I look out among you, I know that many of you in this room have experienced Holy Communion hundreds of times. And in many ways, it grows very common in our lives. We come forward, we receive a wafer, a bit of juice, we march past the station, and we're on to the next event. But friends, I want you to think with a reframed, reset form of thinking today and imagine what it would be like to again know the presence of Jesus right here with us. That's what communion means. It's uniting with Jesus again and having placed in our hands even something that's very earthly, very common, very ordinary, but remembering again, this is Jesus' body broken for us, his blood poured out in sacrifice for us. A reminder again of that deep abiding love God wants to communicate to us every time we partake of it. And even though we don't always feel ready to receive it, to enter into the present moment and to thank God for it, for his forgiveness, for his love that is abundant, intended for us. No wonder Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Friends, maybe it's no small thing to rediscover a playful spirit, that of a child, as we enter into each Sabbath opportunity, to become fully aware, fully present, to know and claim again the gift that God has given to us in this Sabbath time, and to claim it again and again and again. Not something we go through the motions with, but something that we embrace with joy, with thanksgiving. It's no small thing to read God's Word. And I want to challenge us all in these summer-like days to pause and truly pursue God's Word for you, for me, and to read it until something from that Word blesses our hearts. And we take the time to think on it and allow it to speak to us, to renew our connection with God in all those wonderful ways that God can bless us. And here's a perfect opportunity on this gorgeous Sunday afternoon. I invite you, rather than firing up the grill and getting about some tasks or maybe mowing your lawn, pause. Sit on your patio, even though the yard is screaming to be mowed and addressed, sit on your patio and bask in the sun and allow its warmth to be a blessing. Close your eyes. Listen for birdsong. Draw in the fragrance of the breezes. Feel the kiss of it upon your cheeks. And think about nothing but the one who made it all possible. And to give thanks for that moment. That's what Sabbath is. And we are meant to enjoy it, embrace it, not endure it. It's not a command that we carry as a burden, but a command because God knows how much we need it. And I hope that you will invite Sabbath moments into your life, not just on Sunday morning, but imagine observing the Sabbath, keeping it holy every day of life, because you're making space in your life for the one who is life. May it be so. Amen.